If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. If you can't believe what you're hearing, get the straight talk from Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hour number two, I'm Charlie Robinson. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find my podcast, Macroaggressions, in audio format wherever podcasts are served. In video format, best place, probably Rockfin. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. Well, about 2 years ago, I got an email from Mike Halpern. He said, listen, you've got to watch this video. We just released information about a document called the SPARS pandemic document on InfoWars. I watched a 2-hour show, Alex Jones, Rob Dew, and Mike Halpern breaking down in excruciating detail the SPARS pandemic document that was produced in 2017 in October, meant to simulate a respiratory virus that was unleashed on the world from the years 2025 to 2028. And this was financed, of course, by Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, which is a deep state hospital involved in all these things. Whenever there's a scandemic or some sort of workshop for some sort of event that's soon to come in the future, you can bet your ass that Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security will be all over it. And Mike sent me the video. I watched it. It was amazing. I said, you got to come on Macroaggressions and explain this to my viewers, because I think they're going to really benefit from it. So listen, we're a couple years out down the road from it, and Mike's back, so I want to talk to Mike Halpern. You can catch him. MikeHalpern.substack.com is a great place, a fantastic resource for people that want to get their information in bite-sized pieces. So without further ado, the great Mike Halpern. Hey, Mike, what's going on? How are you?
Charlie, I'm back. Let's do this.
You are back. You're always back. And every time you come on my show, people go, okay, I want to watch this, but I'm going to be scared. You know, I'm going to hear some things that maybe I don't want to hear, but I'd rather have the truth. So where are we these days? Now, we're a couple years out from SPARS. And, when you and I talked about it, it was a theoretical, it was a real document, but simulating a theoretical outbreak. And it was very specific in the wording. It's an 89-page document. People can find it. It's still available. You can get the PDF of it and you can read it for yourself. And they detailed this scenario in which a virus sweeps the world, SPARS, St. Paul Acute Respiratory Syndrome, SPARS. And it sweeps the world. It starts in a very unusual way, and they talk about not just the sort of overview, but even the details of, we're going to roll out a vaccine, we're going to have social media influencers, we're going to have rappers do it. So they invent fictional rappers. They invent fictional vaccine uptake campaigns, hashtag vaccines work. And then what do you know, Mike? We start watching things roll out and things start to play out in real life almost exactly as they did in the SPARS pandemic document, down to the hashtag vaccines work, down to having rappers push it, whether it's back that vax up or whatnot, Run DMC doing their cartoon, yo yo yo, get your vaccines on, and all this pandering and insanity. It starts to look exactly like this SPARS document. At what point, I know when you guys kind of broke the news on this, it was, this is something to keep an eye on and maybe we have a reason to worry. But now we're 2 years in. What are your feelings on the SPARS document in 2023?
Well, I just want to give a little bit of a context of the timeline, because when I first found it, which was in 2021 in March, first of all, I was floored because the accuracy of what we've seen over the last couple of years matched perfectly with the document itself. And people should definitely read it. Go to my Substack to the first link to go check out all the breakdown, the outline on it. But the horrible part about the whole process is that It says people are going to die. It says people are going to get injured. It says there's going to be a virus coming and we have to use vaccination to stampede the public. So that's the sad part about it, is that they already knew what they were going to do beforehand. But the crazy part is that the time of when we found it, when I reached out to you, when it went viral, is that that was at the peak of when they were ramming down the vaccination. It's not like we found it afterward. This was right. I mean, there were lockdowns. People are freaked out, masks on, don't go to the food store, don't talk to your neighbors. I mean, this was right at the peak of it. And I have to believe that this was one of the things that stopped the campaign. I'm not saying it's the thing that stopped it. I think it definitely helped, though. The people definitely woke up on this one.
For sure. I mean, it floored me. I went through it thinking, well, this is a simulation, right? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, of course you would, you know, if you're going to, you know, there's no harm in practice, right? You could role play these events and this is all fine and dandy, but boy, you know, I have an understanding of Crimson Contagion and Lockstep and Claydex and Event 201. And I know that a lot of times you run these simulations, not as a, you know, as some sort of theoretical exercise, but also as a practice run, a dress rehearsal. And when I saw some of the overlap of SPARs, the fictional document simulating this outbreak, and then you overlay it on top of the current scenario. What I first noticed was that even though this was a document that was released in 2017, simulating an outbreak that happened in 2025 and lasting for 3 years until 2028, three or almost 4 years, if you took that timeline, that 2025 to 2028, and you just sort of moved it back 5 years and dropped it on top of 2020, or actually, I think really like 2019, if you want to be accurate, because the first year of the SPARS document is talking about kind of how things are, you know, coming to fruition, but then it really kind of breaks out later. But if you lined up these timelines on top of each other, it was terrifying to me because they were starting to have some of the same markers, some of the same things were happening at the same times, and you would start to hear language that was coming straight out of this document, and I was getting creeped out, and I was messaging you saying, I've got a bad feeling about this, Mike. I think you guys might have been all over it. What's the consensus been from the people that you reached on InfoWars? I mean, when you say it went viral, I mean, like when you sent me the video, you're like, we did this, we recorded this on Saturday. I think I was watching it Sunday, and by Monday it had like, I don't know what, 12, 15 million views or something like that. I mean, I think that you guys, I don't know how to quantify whether or not you guys were instrumental in messing up this vaccine campaign, but you had to have had an impact because so many people watched that and were terrified by it. So what do you take on it? You know, I guess, well, a full 2 years after the broadcast.
Well, just to give a little bit additional context, after that went viral, a lot of doctors watch Alex Jones' show, and Dr. Peter McCullough picked up on it. He actually went on Joe Rogan very soon afterward and talked about the SPARS document. It's also in the SPARS thread on my Substack. But for Joe Rogan to be covering it, Peter McCullough, all these different people to be covering it, I think this really damaged them. And I'm humbled just to be able to find something like that, to get it out to the public. But it almost felt like I was a part of it. Like I'm in the simulation. Like I recently watched Ready Player One, and I felt like when it happened, I was now in this video game, because they even war gamed out in the document that people would expose the public officials and the pharma companies and who the drug manufacturers and things like that. It's almost like I was playing into the simulation. The whole thing was just kind of wild. But to answer your question, a couple of years afterward, we're still inside of this document. When I read it, there's just layers upon layers upon layers, more to discover and more connections to made. After that viral report, Johns Hopkins themselves had to come out and rebuke the accuracy of the report. That's also in the Substack too, mikehalpern.substack.com. I got Johns Hopkins to respond to the viral report, but right after it got released, AI fact checkers from Lead Pages, all these different organizations through the AI, And the AI is inside of that report. They're talking about using technology and broadcasting messages. And this is a document for risk communicators. It's all kind of just merging together to just almost like a video game that they simulated out.
Well, there's a quote in there that kind of bolsters what you're talking about. It says from this document, it says, conspiracy theories also proliferated across social media, suggesting that the virus had been purposely created and introduced to the population by drug companies, or that it had escaped from a government lab secretly testing bioweapons. So in the document itself, they pre-bunk themselves, right? They already set up this scenario in which people like yourself would find the information and put it out across social media, suggesting that the virus had been purposely created, which is there's tons of evidence to show massive advanced knowledge of it. And so it's, like you said, it's kind of like a simulation or some sort of weird, you know, feedback loop. And like they expected you. They expected you, Mike, in the simulation.
Yes.
In 2017, they knew that you were factored into it. That is so wild to me. But again, I guess credit to Johns Hopkins for being accurate in their simulation. They knew that somebody would dig into it. They just didn't put your name on it specifically.
I was factored in. Like I also just watched Manchurian Candidate. And at the end of it, the guy, the main character who is being chosen to be president, he said, you have to understand, you've been factored into this. Like we've all been factored into this equation that they've created and just kind of war gamed out. It's just so, the whole thing's just so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. There was tons of advanced knowledge given the benefit of retrospect, looking back on it, you know, we didn't know what we didn't know in 2021 when you and I were first talking about this, but now after 2 years of people really digging in and getting to the bottom of this, we're looking back and what we're finding is that there was a ton of advanced knowledge of COVID. There were patents in advance. There were massive purchases of protective gear. There were CEOs that were all up and leaving like a couple months before this broke out, just a variety of CEOs, which, you know, normally there's not a ton of turnover. Maybe you get a few here and there, but there was a massive amount of them leaving. It's almost as if they got a memo saying, you know, do you really want to stick around for this pandemic? Or maybe legally they were told, if you're involved in this and it ever comes out that you're involved in it, you know, then maybe we're going to, you know, there'll be repercussions. Maybe they'll claw back some of that money that you've been making over the years. So in hindsight, it's crystal clear. But what amazes me is that in the middle of it, you guys were able to see through this and were able to kind of say, well, you weren't saying this is exactly how it's going to play out because we have the script from SPARS, but you were saying if this SPARS document is to be used as an outline, maybe not a detailed script, but more of an outline, then we know where things are going. And I guess what was surprising to me was that it ended, you know, it sort of ended on a high note and in a real place where we are now, which is the head of the CDC stepping down. Rochelle Walensky just stepped down. Micah, immediately when I saw that, I messaged you. What other similarities do we have of people that, you know, in similar situations, the way that document was ending? We have the fictional rapper BZ being sort of like outed as being a fraud, right? And everybody said, well, you know, these guys are trying to convince people to take the vaccines. And we have, you know, Ludacris who was it that backed that vaccine up?
Juvenile.
Yeah. That was, so we've had these things play out like they did in the script and it gave me the creeps, but anything else that we saw in that document that's already happened and transpired?
To give the exact quote, because I have my notes from the presentation, I just want to match what you just said with the exact quote from the document. Here it is. As the investigations grew in intensity, several high-ranking officials at the CDC and FDA were forced to step down and withdraw from government. That's a direct quote from the document. Another similarity that I'm seeing is that they already knew that they had to ram down as many vaccinations as they possibly could before people start to understand what was going on. The fact that the majority of US citizens willing to be vaccinated had already been immunized, the negative publicity surrounding adverse reactions had little effect on nationwide vaccination rates. So the game plan used these terms like spike protein and stop the curve and things like that. Get as many people vaccinated as possible before everyone realized what was going on. So the SPARS presentation sort of hastened that process. But again, like we were saying before, we were factored in. So people, anti-vaxxers were factored into this. I have a quote about that here. Early on in the CoronaVax vaccination campaign, anti-vaccination groups began emerging on social media platforms. And just the level of detail of factoring in all the different obstacles is just really amazing. Like the amount of work that they put into this is just incredible.
It really is. It suggests massive amounts of advanced knowledge. They understand how we're going to react to certain things. I'm sure Tavistock was involved in this to manage the expectations of the general public. We're going to take a break, but on the other side of the break, we've got an audio clip set up that we want to play that Mike put together that I think will shine a little bit of light on what we're talking about here. Back with more with Mike Halpern after the break. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Alan Miller.
But in the end, these choices we make are also part of a wider thing. And what we want, surely, is elected representatives to deal with some of the big issues around housing, infrastructure, hospitals, innovation growth, working with the private sector, and where there does need to be state provision, underwriting some big infrastructure projects, and doing it openly with the public at the heart of things, democratically, not like we've seen in the last few years. And actually, since Blair and Cameron, this kind of managerial, technocratic impositions by those that are so estranged from the public and what we want and need. And we've seen that with a recent lack of turnout, less than 30%, sometimes as low as 20%. People are underwhelmed. They're thinking it's a parallel universe, elected representatives. And so what we need is an injection of some fresh ideas and attitudes.
Alan Miller and today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We're back with Mike Halpern. You can check out his work at mikehalpern.substack.com, where he doesn't just write articles, but there's also these really great lists of with links to a variety of different other articles and sound bites and clips and whatnot. Mike is definitely not going to be getting a Christmas card from Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security this year or maybe ever because of the work that he did with the team over at InfoWars uncovering this SPARS pandemic document. It's worth taking a look for those that are interested. It's 89 pages. There's a PDF of it. You can just look for SPARS pandemic document, SPARS. You'll find it somewhere. And what Mike has put together for us is just a compilation of criminality, I would say. So we've got an audio clip for the next couple of minutes. So if you're somebody that suffers from high blood pressure, I warn you in advance, this is going to elevate your blood. This is going to make you infuriated at what we went through. And it's going to remind you of some of the insane ideas that were normalized in the wake of COVID. And so strap in, here you go.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
I mean, and we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Hence, we are quite focused on communicating directly with those people. Hence, our special guest today about why it's important to get vaccinated, why these vaccines are safe, why they can still kill you, even if you are under the age of 27.
And so, if you could actually change that, which we call the software of life, if you could introduce a line of code or change a line of code.
Here's what we know. We know that the people who are dying from this
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction.
Rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children.
The difference of this forced industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah. And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
I do just want to make sure that I share some caution on this, because we just don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA.
I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate.
The infotech revolution merges with the biotech revolution. What you get is the ability to hack human beings. I want to talk to you today about the future of our species and really the future of life. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens.
Hey, but before you find a day chain, you gotta wait chain. Gotta go back to nature and get it straight chain. Girl, you look good, won't you vax that thing up? You're a handsome young brother, won't you vax that thing up? Dating in real life, you need to vax that thing up. Feeling freaky all night, you need to vax that thing up.
You got the vaccine, they got the vaccine, we got the vaccine. We can get back to normal, let me inform you, let's all get the vaccine.
I'm not asking what's in the infusion. I'm not looking up all of the ingredients in the infusion. I am sticking out my arm and I am taking the infusion.
What I've read, they actually started the animal test, and because the animals were dying, they stopped the test.
Correct.
Folks, I think that's important to understand there, that what we're talking about is the American people are now the guinea pigs.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change.
To me, it is clear countries need to make strong efforts to manage both mis- and disinformation. We know social media companies are working around the clock to combat these disinformation campaigns. The task of identifying every bad actor is immense. And experts agree that new disinformation campaigns are being generated every day. This is a huge problem that's going to keep us from ending the pandemic and might even lead to the fall of governments, as we saw in the Arab Spring.
Why don't we blow this system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet. But there must be some way.
We're in the middle of something else going on here. Nothing to do with Donald Trump. We're in the middle of what I'd call, other people call, the fourth industrial revolution.
Wow, Mike. If that doesn't make you angry, I don't know what will.
I love it. These people, the comedy,
yeah,
I love it.
I do too. Yeah. What are we, what new normal Are you down for the new normal or what? I mean, because I'm not really interested in what Klaus Schwab is selling. But of course, it's a sales pitch. And when you've got global communism as the product, I guess you have to sort of frame it as the new normal or put some sort of, frilly disclaimers all over it and make it sound better than it really is. But listen, the new normal is transhumanism, is it not?
I got two impressions. We're going to do a Harari impression and then I got a Klaus Schwab impression. You want me to do it?
Please, both of them, please.
Harari, you will be going into the future in the metaverse. The bodies and the brains will be connected to all peoples. Here's Klaus Schwab. We will be going into metaverse. No more meat. You will eat bugs. Smart city. I see a need for a great reset.
I've got this guy named Eric Hollerbach, who's a comedian friend of mine, and he has this character called Klaus Schwab Jr. And Eric spent some time in Germany, so he's got this he's perfected this German accent, and he's got this kind of like spacesuit costume that he wears and pretends that he's talking to all of his slaves and does the Klaus Schwab voice. I mean, it's funny because it's cartoonish on its face that you would have somebody like Klaus Schwab running things, or the assumption that he's running things, with this hardcore German accent and this Bond villain persona, and he dresses like he's part of the Galactic Empire, and it's all very cartoonish and hilarious to people like us. But unfortunately, this push towards the fourth industrial revolution that Biden sort of ended on there, the fourth industrial revolution is being proposed by the World Economic Forum. And what they say is that, yeah, we've had the first industrial revolution, the second, the third was computer chips, wafers, and the internet and whatnot. And now we're moving into the fourth industrial revolution. And to just the common person that hears that, they go, okay, fine. That sounds like the next progression of things. So what is the fourth industrial revolution? Well, according to Klaus Schwab and Harari there, it is the blending of man with machine. It is transhumanism. And when you listen to that clip and you hear them talk about, well, listen, if we said it was just gene editing, gene therapy, we would have had a 95% failure rate. So we basically have to lie to these dummies to get them to take this vaccine. So where do you foresee this going? Because we're at a very pivotal point now where they're trying to sell us the concept of becoming genetically modified organisms, much like a genetically modified tomato that you can now patent and own. My question, Mike, is when we change the structure of what it is to be a human being, are we not making ourselves legally one deviation away from being an actual human being, much like this genetically modified tomato? Are we putting ourselves in a situation where down the road, they're going to have the potential to own us because the laws do not apply to us because we are technically no longer humans?
It's a loaded question, but basically what I think is going on one level is they love to test. And the person I recommend the most to listen to, he's so good, is Jay Dyer. He's so good. He's a historian. He finds these very rare books and he's able to tie in the agendas going back over a century. They love the opposites. And I've never was raised really religious, but the more that I learn about the Bible, I mean, it says so much about what we're going through. But the reason why I bring that up is that when Jay Dyer talks about these books, they're all the same. It's like depopulation, collectivism. Let's see if we can run these experiments and get people to give up meat and worship the climate and change their genetics, which is all in the Bible anyway. And to answer your question, what I think, that's on one level. The other level, I think, is they're mad scientists. But the question I'm having for myself is, what are they really trying to do? And I think that they're just running a massive experiment. They've got, I mean, you've seen those long, they look like nano cables inside of the autopsies. I mean, this is very high level nanotechnology, synthetic biology, and biotechnology that it looks like they've just rolled out in different batches. There's that one website, it's called How Bad Is My Batch? But it looks like they just have They had Pfizer, they had Moderna, these different companies, these different subcontractors, and they just said, let's just roll all of our technology out that we've been working on for the last 30 years and just see what happens. Now, they've already been doing it with the vaccines. They have complete liability protection. And I think they just took all their experiments. The more I think about it, the more I think they just did all their experiments in one shot, Charlie, one shot.
It wouldn't surprise me, because we know that there's no line in the sand that these monsters won't cross. If we're of the belief that, well, we wouldn't do that because we're good people. We would never inject people against, you know, without their knowledge. We would never do that. Therefore, they would never do that. We sort of export our social restraints onto them. I think that's a dangerous thing to do, especially when you look back and you say, well, would the American government participate in something as diabolical as this? The answer is yes, they would, and they already have. We have the Tuskegee experiment. We have the Guatemala syphilis experiment where we have infected people intentionally just to see what happens. We have, obviously, we know about the horrors of World War II and what went on there, but a lot of those scientists were imported to the United States to continue their work. So this idea, I tell you what, man, Jim Mars talked about the Fourth Reich, you know what I mean? And when I see the World Economic Forum talking about the Fourth Industrial Revolution, boy, if that's a Venn diagram, I feel like there's a whole lot of interlocking between the concept of the Fourth Reich and the concept of the Fourth Industrial Revolution to blend man with machines. Is that not the ultimate goal of these maniacs?
It's so hard for me to believe, because when we wake up every day, we have these very simple things that we do. Like we brush our teeth, we eat, we go outside, we go to the food store, just super simple things. Just to think that they could end all of this and merge everyone into a smart city, a metaverse situation. And I highly recommend Ready Player One. I think that's as close to what they want that I've seen so far as Ready Player One, which is the synopsis of the movie, is that it's in the future. Everyone's in these smart cities, basically. There's no oil. And you see the campaign to shut down all the pipelines. And the only entertainment, satisfaction, and even money is in a video game that some tech entrepreneur created. And I think that's probably as close as what they're trying to bring us to that I've seen so far. But the technology that I've seen, when I take breaks and I look back at my bookmarks and I see what is coming out of people in these autopsies, what Dr. Carrie Madej has seen, Botha, there's different doctors, they're all my Substack that I've accumulated, the Luciferase, the different crystals that the people are seeing, it looks similar to Morgellons. And it's really frightening to look at. And that's why it's best to just have comedy involved, because this is really out of a sci-fi movie. It's just so crazy, Charlie.
It is. And we've got Bill Gates talking about how the human beings will generate energy, and that will go towards mining a cryptocurrency that will be used. And you hear all this and you go, okay, well, so the guy that makes video games or makes software, whose company Microsoft now is deeply involved in the video game industry, has created a component called Luciferase, or at least is behind it, that is part patent number 60606, which of course can't be accidental. He comes out with this Luciferase technology, and then it matches up perfectly with this Ready Player One game where you're talking, or movie, talking about how you're inside of a video game, how you're generating currencies, how everything is sort of living inside that game. I feel like these people have had a big meeting. We know they love their meetings, where they got together and they said, this whole managing of humanity would be so much easier if we just got rid of all the useless eaters, as Henry Kissinger mentions. Oh, by the way, on a side note, Mike, did you wish Henry Kissinger a happy 100th birthday today? Because it's his birthday. These globalist scumbags always live to be 100 years old.
We might be Facebook friends. I'm not sure.
You might have to check. It'll remind you. Well, today's Heinz's birthday. What do you get the guy that has everything? I don't know. Maybe I'd like to drop some napalm on that guy for what, as Anthony Bourdain said, once you go to Cambodia, you will spend the rest of your life wishing that you could murder Henry Kissinger with your bare hands. So,
but also, Charlie, the graphene technology, let's just touch on that really quick.
Yeah, because
just a couple of these different technologies, and I've had some time to learn some electrical engineering, and graphene is a conductor and it's a capacitor, and they're injecting these materials, these electrical engineering materials, into our bodies. They're being found in the autopsies of the injections. And then Klaus Schwab, like we just played, is talking about you're going to merge with machines. And we have other clips of him in French TV saying, we're going to put chips on your skin and on your clothes. And somebody, I think from Nokia, the Nokia CEO, says 6G is just going to be you with a phone on imprinted into your hand. And it's going to be on your skin. And it's not even going to be a phone. It's going to be your body. So it's just, the tech is just rolling out so fast. It's just, it made me refocus my attention on the technology that's already being rolled out. It's not going to come in the future. It's not going to be the Jetsons. We're not going to be flying in flying cars with teleportation, whatever we thought was going to be happening. It's going to be us as slaves to these elite people who think they're going to be, like Yuval Noah Harari says, on their Noah's Ark going into off-world Elysium while we're down in the smart city metaverse. The whole thing is just crazy, Charlie.
Yeah, and they're very vocal about it. It's only hidden to the extent that people choose not to go out and look for it. But if you want to find the criminals confessing to what they have planned for us in the future, it's very easy to find. It's all on Mike's Substack. That's a good place to go find it all in one spot. But they don't fear any sort of repercussions. I think that they look at this as a What I've studied over the years with regard to this British roundtable eugenics movement and the concepts behind it is that in their warped sense of reality, they see themselves as doing the really hard work that needs to be done, which is trimming the fat, thinning the herd, getting rid of the drags on society. They see themselves as heroes by doing this sort of thing. They see themselves as that, well, listen, you know, we've got to prune the rose bushes so that they look beautiful in the future. If you just leave them without any sort of maintenance, then they get overrun and they look disgusting and ugly. So here we are, the Hararis, the Schwabs of the world, we're going to come in and take out the trash, so to speak. And that is a concept and an arrogance that is obviously reprehensible, but it's a theme that's running through all of these people. And when you hear about Cecil Rhodes and this concept, and obviously Darwin and Galton and Huxley's and all these people starting to normalize eugenics. And then you have Huxley in 57 coining the term transhumanism. And you know, well, he was the head of the British Eugenics Society. He's talking about, well, the future is going to be more like this, right? This transhumanism. So is transhumanism just eugenics rebranded for the 21st century?
I think they also wanted to call it biometrics. Like, they just constantly are relabeling old campaigns. And that's what's been a learning process for me when I listen to Jay Dyer and these other people. And what you're talking about is, this is not new. Like, a lot of people think with the sci-fi movies, all this is, wow, that's a cool concept. They've been thinking about this and doing this for 100 years. That's the crazy part, is this is none of these are new plans. It's just crazy that they're actually doing it. They're just like, wait, let's try to merge man with machine. Let's change their genetics, like you were talking about. Let's see if we can own them. And then a lot of these CIA experiments with these cults, like what was that Nexium cult that they were trying to brand people? And this is some dark, deep stuff, Charlie. I mean, we're being nice and we're being really general about it, but, like, you know, with human trafficking and sex trafficking and the migrants and the cartels, I mean, this is all one huge mega plan that I've seen so far. And they're just doing it. It's crazy. They're just doing it.
And nobody's standing up for it, because I don't think that people can understand the big picture. You know, they've got us so focused on day-to-day living, you know, staying alive, and inflation is going up, and I've got to make more money, and I've got to, and this is reality. You've got to focus on taking care of your family. But when you're busy with those things, it doesn't leave you a whole lot of time to dig into the details. Where are you? What's your focus been recently? Are you more focused on what's coming out of the bodies of these people? Because, like you said, I see the John O'Looney videos. I see the people that are pulling large clots out of bodies. Like, what's your area of emphasis these days?
to be honest, all of it seems like a sci-fi movie, but the biotechnology, the synthetic biology for sure is, I think, needs to be our main focus, not the migrants, not World War III. I know it sounds crazy. It's the biotech that they're so eager and so bold to get into us, because if they can get this into us, they can change behavior. They can change our genetics. They can make us sick. They can do a lot of different things that will end our version of reality, our version of humanity that we know it. So I think that needs to be our focus. Another thing I don't want to bring up, but we definitely need to acknowledge. I found this guy off YouTube. His name is Zachary King. He's a former Satanist, and it's so horrible, but we have to bring attention to it. The abortion movement is cover for a lot of different things. One of them has to be human, the body part or organ harvesting. But another is, he said that every single abortion clinic has a satanic coven high priest at it. And I've seen some videos of doctors coming out, abortion doctors, who look like little demons. But he's saying that abortion at every single clinic has a satanic coven member. If you go to abortion rallies or Satanists there, it's a huge component and it's so horrible, but that's what's going on, Charlie. It's crazy.
Yeah. And if you do any research on Margaret Sanger and you take a look at her background as the founder of Planned Parenthood out of Brooklyn back in the early 1900s, it leads you to some very dark places that Mike Halpern is not afraid to go. We'll be back with him for a final segment on the other side of this break. This is TNT Radio.
Have we reached peak Great Reset madness? Probably not. The BBC is now openly asking, what would a flying free world look like? And you won't believe the answer.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
BBC Future Planet series has announced a vision of a flying free world where you literally will go nowhere and be happy. According to the BBC, quote, fresh fruits and veggies would disappear from supermarkets in the winter. We would go back several generations when you could only buy strawberries when they were in season. Unused airports could be used as local community spaces, according to the BBC. Instead of going to the airport to fly to a destination, you could go there to try out scooters and hoverboards. Don't worry, this is all going to be a, quote, boost to climate goals if we do this. And of course, travel would only be available for the very wealthy. This is a vision of the Great Reset. It will only happen if we allow it. Reject the Great Reset. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Many power grids worldwide are in grave danger of collapse from the growing amount of intermittent power sourced from wind turbines. Covering the countryside and offshore coastal regions with wind turbines is insane. English journalist James Dellingpole has described wind farms as a cancer, and that he wants to raise public awareness of just how disastrous these bat-chomping, bird-slicing eco-crucifixes are in every single respect. These remarks nail the reality of wind farms to a T. When the wind doesn't blow, there is no power. And when gale force winds hit, the turbines are shut down. It's a Goldilocks moment. When the winds are just right, the power produced is at an optimum. In reality, industry and households require power 24/7, not just when the wind blows.
You're listening to Charlie Robinson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Final segment of today's show, we've got Mike Halpern on. Mike, what's the best place for people to connect with you, to find your outstanding work, and to read about the things that you're writing about?
Two places that I'm currently at, mikehalpern.substack.com. You guys can also go to my Instagram, mikehalp99.
Well, I highly recommend people go there, because if for no other reason, that when you have a conversation with friends that maybe don't understand the COVID narrative, or people that are interested in your life that want to know more about it, it's a great place to go where you have all the resources in one spot. I think that, Mike, you do a really good job of collecting and organizing data in a way that most people can't really even process. So you're very organized, and I align with your line of thinking on this whole thing. Listen, it's a dark topic. You know, it's something that you got to find the right people to talk about this with, because if we do nothing, like you said, they'll have us focused on the southern border, which is most definitely an issue, to something to worry about, or World War III, which is, you know, being propped up by these maniacs over in Ukraine. So these are real issues, but they may happen, you know, it may impact you, it may not. But the concept that you mentioned, like the synthetic biology component to this is impacting everybody. And if you were knowledgeable enough to kind of get yourself out of the line of fire when it came to vaccine times, because you understood the game, good for you. But a lot of people didn't. And there's still billions of people around this world, hundreds of 200 million people inside America that took this shot, at least one shot, maybe even four, and have put themselves on a path that they don't quite understand. So if you've got somebody in your life that you want to sort of provide them with a secondary source of information, one that's not coming from the mainstream, MikeHalpern.substack.com, I think, is a good place to go. I always send people there to your work. So Mike, what are we to make of this, right? So synthetic biology is where we go. It is the fourth industrial revolution. It is transhumanism. It's dangerous and disturbing. But these people aren't gods. They think they are, but they are not. They're not indestructible. Their plans didn't really get off on the right foot. I mean, we did see a lot of predictive programming in the SPARS pandemic document, but I did not see them offering a year's worth of Krispy Kreme donuts in exchange for people to get the vaccines. They did obviously mention the fictional wrapper that they used to convince people to get it. But when you're offering Talladega laps around the track in order to convince people to get the shot, or you're offering them gift cards, or you need to watch Bill de Blasio eat a cheeseburger to convince you, this is most definitely not plan A. It feels like maybe plan B, I'd say probably plan C. Things are not going well. So in order for them to push us into this transhumanism world, they're going to need a lot of steps to fall in the proper order. And guys like you are just in there monkeying up their business, and I really appreciate it. What do you think's going on? What do you think these guys are going to be able to get some version of the fourth industrial revolution launched, or is it just too difficult to manage 8 billion people to get them all to think a certain way?
Well, there's different experiments that they've already ruled out. There's definitely people that have taken the injection. Maybe some of their behavior has changed. It's possible that their genetics have changed. There's definitely those purple street lights. I'm not sure if you've seen some of that.
No.
What are they doing with that?
What are those?
If you type in like purple streetlights, it looks like you can test your genetic engineering experiments through black lights and different lights. You can sort of test. That's what that Lucifer is kind of comes in. You can sort of test your work in the genetic engineering world. I think they've already done it. Just the more I watch, I read that SPARS document, the more I've seen what they've done when I look at all my stuff, I think they did it, Charlie. I think they already did all their work in one shot, and that's why they're able to pull back so much. I mean, you can go outside and barely no one's wearing a mask. You can go to the food store, no lockdowns in general. I'm generalizing here. Why have they pulled back so much is my question. They've pulled back almost 100% from where we were a year and a half ago, if you think about it. Why did they do that? I think they already did their work. I think their work is done.
Wow. Well, it has been changing people. We've watched, there's terms like vaccine rage that are out there now, that you see people, their behaviors have become much different. Their shorter fuse, glossy eyes, it feels like it's working already. I wonder if you were, maybe it helps to think like a psychopath, you know, like if you were the World Economic Forum crowd, you know, what would you do to, how would we know if their program was working fully, right? How would we know that they have injected everybody in? They would stop the process of trying to push everyone into vaccines, I would suggest, right? So that looks like what they're doing. We're maybe on this. I think there might be something to your theory that they've already shot their shot, you know, pun intended, I guess. And that we're already sort of going to just play this out for the next couple of years. What is the SPARS document ends pretty much kind of where we are now, with the heads of the CDC being run out of town and the FDA being run out, and this pivot towards people starting to realize that that they've been had, and that the general public starts to rise up. But one of the things you mentioned in the SPARS document, right, it was that it didn't matter, that they were, that their intention was to do it as quick as possible to as many people as possible before everybody catches on. That doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like the strategy you would use if you were injecting somebody with a potion that was going to actually cure them. That sounds like a strategy you would use if you wanted to inject people with something that put them on a path where there's no repercussions, or that there was no going back for them. Right? Are the people that have been injected, has that ship sailed for them, or is there a way that we can reach them and maybe even undo some of the damage that's been caused by this shot?
I think that the SPARS document, if it's anything, is a battle plan. It's a war game of how do we complete a mission. And I think, just my theory, and I'm open to debate, I'm open to interpretation, I think they completed their mission. They got the synthetic biology in. Now, that doesn't mean it's activated yet. They're rolling out 5G. They're pushing 5G nonstop with the electromagnetic fields. They want it everywhere. And I think that those two connected becomes what Harari and what Klaus Schwab are talking about. It's the fourth industrial revolution, is that merger between the electrical engineering technology and the biotechnology. And there's a couple of Harari quotes where he actually talks about that. He says that the health sciences and the electrical engineering computer sciences were always separate. He's like, but they're about to merge. I think that's what the whole campaign was all about, was let's merge our technologies in these test subjects, aka human beings, and then we'll roll out other tech later on top of it. So they have these other technologies they are working on, but I think that base layer operating system, just my theory, has been installed. And I'm not saying it's activated yet, but I think it has been installed for a lot of people. And that's the sad part. And it's horrible to think like that. But I mean, we saw some of the craziest things we've ever seen in our entire lives over the last 2 years. And with the SPARS document, we have evidence that they put in this technology.
Yeah, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't mistakes were made, as Donald Rumsfeld likes to say. It was intentional, and there's evidence of their criminality, and it's changing people. And we saw the censors come pretty hard after guys like David Icke, who early on said, "Listen, I have questions about this vaccination campaign in conjunction with the rollout of 5G. A lot of 5G towers went up while people were locked up in their houses. And I think it's a reasonable question to ask if 5G is a part of it. You think it is, right? You think that 5G at some point when it is fully deployed may have a role in interacting with the nanotechnology, the biometrics that are inside the human being. Is that a reason?
100%.
I mean, it's unreasonable.
True.
It's unreasonable 100%. To think it, but 100%. Okay. Yeah.
100%. I have this Facebook group that I even created. It's called EMF Retreat Network. People can feel free to join it, but I've talked to a lot of people in that group. People are really affected by the electromagnetics, the 5G, but I don't know if it's just that. There may be these other materials that are already embedded into us that are making us more susceptible to the EMFs.
Yeah. Well, I have on macroaggressions coming out tomorrow. I have an interview with Nicholas Pinot, who is he goes by the EMF guy. And we talked a lot about that, about the role of electromagnetic frequencies in people's health, in people's not just their physical health, their mental well-being, and the impacts that these things have on us as humans. Final wrap up. What are you working on now? What do you think you're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks here on Substack?
My focus is just to get all my bookmarks that I've been working on for the last couple of years in that consolidated format that Charlie was talking about. I don't usually give my opinion. I just sort everything with the data so that other people can give their opinions and we can talk about it. It's just a different format of publishing my work. But I talk a lot about the culture, the 5G, whatever is in the injection, the synthetic biology, and I just try to give everything for free. And then as a group, we can sort of figure out where we need to go. But I think synthetic biology is the most pertinent, most important to keep attacking.
Well, it certainly is a very important concept to get on board and understand. We fear that in part because we feel like maybe we don't have the understanding. I'm not an electrical engineer. How would I know how this stuff works? I'm not a computer programmer. I don't understand how it works. I didn't develop vaccines. Well, listen, you don't have to be an expert in all of those fields. You just have to know where to go to find the information about that. Mike's Substack, I think, is a good place for people to take a look. But look, nobody's going to come and save you. You're going to have to take care of it yourself, whether that's your health or whether that's your mental health as well. Thanks to Ricky Verandas, hour number one. And thank you to my guest, Mike Halpern, in hour number two. Don't burn this place down while I'm gone. I'll see you next week. This is TNT Radio.